Good afternoon. It's a lovely sunny day outside, right? And we're all happy that we're here in San Diego, not in Boston or in Washington, D.C. Okay, today I'm going to talk about visual impairment and use of eye care services among U.S. children. I have no relationship to disclose, and we'll talk about vision. Vision is an essential part of everyday life, as vision affects development, learning, communicating, working, health, and quality of life. Visual impairment is recognized as one of the leading causes of developmental disabilities in the United States and in the world, as an estimated 21 million Americans are visually impaired. A lifetime cost for one person with visual impairment is estimated to be about more than $600,000. And the most important thing is that vision can be prevented and vision can be improved with eyeglasses or surgery if eye conditions are diagnosed in a timely manner. Reflecting the importance of visual health, Healthy People 2010, together with the National Eye Institute, has developed a new focus area, vision and hearing, with 10 vision objectives that were devoted to improve vision health and to increase the use of eye care services. These three objectives that I'm showing are devoted to children, and they are reduce visual impairment, increase vision screening among preschool children, and to increase use of personal protective eyewear. The objective of the present study is to provide national self-reported data on visual impairment and use of eye care services, and to establish whether there are any gender, race, and socioeconomic differences by presenting the analysis of National Health Interview Survey. National Health Interview Survey, conducted by the National Center for Health Statistics, has been the major data source for national health data on the civilian, non-institutionalized population since 1950s. The data are collected in centralized manner by the U.S. Bureau of Census via in-person, face-to-face interview. The data for children are reported by the parent or by the responsible adult. The survey oversamples Black and Hispanic population, and HIS is our major data source for Healthy People 2010 objectives. Annual National Health Interview Survey has only three questions for children and three questions for adults asking about visual impairment and use of eye care services. That is why when we had a new focus area on vision, under the request and with the collaboration of the National Eye Institute, the new vision supplement that included more than 20 questions on vision and use of eye care services has been included in 2002 Health Interview Survey. And all this data that were collected and analyzed were used to set baseline data and then follow-up data for Healthy People 2010 objectives. I will show only some of the data, and if you are interested more in Healthy People Vision Objective progress and how they were developed and the progress, you can come tomorrow for my another presentation where I will be talking about progress and monitoring of Healthy Vision 2010 objectives. In 2002, the response rate for children was about 80%, and in 2007, 77%. And information was collected on more than 12,000 children in 2002 and more than 9,000 in 2007. This slide shows the original questions that were used to collect the data. And the question asked about visual impairment, about ability of children to read the blackboard from the back of the classroom, about visit to eye care provider, and inability to buy eyeglasses for parents. All percentages and associated standard errors were generated using Sudan, a software designed to account for a complex sample design. All estimates were weighted to U.S. civilian non-institutionalized population to give a national estimate, and reliability of estimates were determined by relative standard error, and the data were compared using t-test. Here is the data. About 2 million of American children are visually impaired. The visual impairment was defined as trouble seeing even when child was wearing glasses or contact lenses. The prevalence was significantly higher among children 6 years and older than among young children. And there was an inverse relationship between income and visual impairment prevalence. If we look at the prevalence of visual impairment since 1999, we can see that it didn't change significantly over years. And black children overall had the highest rate of their visual impairment except year 2002, when Hispanics were more likely to have visual impairment than other race groups. Among children 6 to 17 years old, about 3.3% were reported to have visual impairment. However, the proportion of children who reported that they are not able to read the blackboard from the back of the class was almost 4 times higher. It's about 13%. More Hispanic and black children reported the inability to not to read and not to see the blackboard from the back of the classroom. And family income was significantly associated with having problems reading the board. We all know how important is vision screening. And this is a very alarming number. Only 1/3 of children have vision screening before they go to school. Black children and also children with disabilities were more likely to get vision screening, and there was no difference by gender or by income. More than 20% of children under 18 were reported to have visited an eye care provider in the past 12 months. As you can see, Asian and Hispanic children were less likely to have visited an eye care provider than white children, and also children from families with income more than 200% of federal poverty level were more likely to go and to get their eyes checked with eye care professional. The previous presentation talked about inability of parents to buy eyeglasses, and they said that 62% of children didn't have eyeglasses, correct, right? And when we look at US population, 2.5 parents reported that their children needed, but unfortunately they couldn't buy eyeglasses because the parents couldn't afford to buy spectacles. And even 1.3% of families with family incomes 200% of federal poverty level and higher found it unaffordable comparing with poor families. It's about 4% of poor families said that they were not able to buy eyeglasses for their children. Also, Hispanic and black children and poor parents reported they found it really unaffordable to buy eyeglasses. We have to mention some of the limitations. First, some of the vision questions are not asked on a regular basis. It's a supplement. Next limitation, HIS data are based on parents' response, and that is why we don't know the accuracy of report. It may be underreported or overreported. Also, the estimates may be a subject of recall bias, and data on some of the minority US populations were not statistically reliable. Some conclusions. About 2 million of US children had visual impairment, and only 36% of children received vision screening before they went to school. Also, 2.4% of children needed eyeglasses, but parents couldn't afford to buy them. So we have a lot of things to work on with public health educators, with schools, with parents, explaining the importance of visual health. In 2008, the new vision supplement has been included in health interview survey. So next year, we will get new data, and we can assess the progress that has been done or has not been done towards reaching healthy people 2010 objective, and also to see whether the vision health issue improved or not. So let's see. And I hope while we are waiting for new data, we can work together on these issues. OK. Okay. Thank you so much for your attention.
We've got at least 5 minutes for questions.
Do you have any comparative data in terms of difficulty splitting hair? We talked about 2.4% couldn't afford eyeglasses. What about dental care or medical care?
Yes. Health interview survey data also have data asking about dental care and also asking about having health provider as a usual source of care. So you can have, you know, like a comparison and see like an overall picture. Unfortunately, I have it on the top of my head, but if you like email me, I can give all the information and data to you.
You ask about trouble seeing the blackboard. Did you ask question, or did I miss it, about having trouble reading a book or close vision?
No, this question was...
As you saw from the first presentation, you'd be missing the 7-diopter myopes and all the hyperopic children if you don't ask that question.
Yeah, we knew that our questions were not perfect, and that is why for 2008 vision supplement, we included several new questions that we hope to get like more information, asking about nearsightedness and farsightedness, and also making it more, you know, understandable for parents, you know, to us, and helping us to assess what kind of vision problems children might have.
So would you are you actually going to ask, do you have trouble reading a book?
Yes. But it will be like available only like next year, not this year. Any other questions? Thank you so much.
And don't sit down. Well, can we have the speakers up here? And we'll take questions from the floor. While they're coming up, I have a question. Is that National Health Interview Survey data at all available, stratified, say, by state?
No.
It's only national. You don't report it by state?
No. But now CDC, they have a like a team at Diabetes Transition Branch, and they included some question on BRFSS. And BRFSS has a state questions and have state
That's
data.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. There's some chairs over there, so you don't have to stand if you
no,
want.
It's fine.
That's okay? All right. So let's take some questions. Yes.
I have a question for Dr. Beck. When you talked about that study, did you separate them? Because we just saw the hyperopic patient, but did you separate them, or were you talking about somebody with a combination of both?
Most of our children had a combination of both. And this is, it seems that it's specific to those children of Latino accent. They had a combination of hyperopia and astigmatism, and the child you happen to see had just hyperopia, simple hyperopia.
The reason why I'm asking that question is because when you do a spherical equivalent of some of the children that have high hyperopia with astigmatism, and as an optometrist you do it in the microscope form, you will find that they function adequately to go ahead and pass the vision screening.
Yeah.
Yet, when you go ahead and do a cyclopegic exam on them, you're going to find a difference. Did you take that into consideration?
This is exactly the point of the presentation. Yeah. That in terms of visual acuity, those children might have a very good near visual acuity, but when they are examined under cyclopegia, they might have high levels of hyperopia and or astigmatism. And this was how inclusion criteria for the study. There was no inclusion criteria regarding visual acuity.
Do you have plans to publish this data?
It's still ongoing, yes, later on.
But there has been one publication on it.
Yeah, there has been one publication, the baseline.
2007?
Yes, 2008, yes, I'm sorry.
Archives?
Yeah, baseline plus 6 weeks before that.
What was your baseline, you know, the population? I mean, what was the percentage of children that you screened to get those 50, was it like 50 children, 54
54? We don't know. They were just, it's a random subsample of the population that to whom we provide service.
You have no idea that clinic or that service, how many children they serve? And
we serve, every year on average, we screen 10,000 low-income preschoolers in San Diego Unified School District and 10,000 preschool sites in San Diego County. And out of those, we roughly, we provide 2,000 eye exam per year, per academic year.
Any other questions? Some of the other authors?
Well, I've been asking a lot.
Good.
Is there somebody else?
Go ahead.
My question is, Dr. Johnson, and follow up to a question about the Massachusetts law that kids have to be screened before first grade. Did you actually look at data of the number of kids who failed after you screened them? You said you screen in all years.
Yep.
So do you screen first graders too?
Yep.
And did you look at how many of those failed?
Generally, throughout all of the grades, actually, the screening referral rate was about 25 to 30% or so.
So the first graders as well, who had just apparently been mandated that they were screened before they got to school, but they still failed at about over 20%
yep.
rate?
And
well,
some
that's
of
very important. I mean, well, it's very significant.
The next step between those kindergartners and first graders is the 25% that was screened and failed for you, were they the same ones that were failed in the kindergarten program? And was there any intervention? Was there any follow-up? Because if that part of the law is to ensure that if a child fails a screening, that it's mandated that they get an eye exam.
And that's upon entering school, but it's not necessarily mandated after they've entered school. So that's the caveat in that system.
Do children enter school in kindergarten or first grade?
Enter school in kindergarten.
Okay, because in some states it's not mandated to start in kindergarten. So in the state of Illinois, a child can begin in first grade. So that was there any tie-in to the kids that had failed previously and that they didn't follow up, that the law didn't actually pick up those kids?
Yeah, I don't actually have numbers, and we've only gone through kind of one cycle of the screening program, and they don't have complete records at the school to support it. But kind of anecdotally, and looking at the information that we do have, it does look like it's the same kids being referred every year, and it does take that two or three times to get them into the care.
Being from Massachusetts and also involved in this program, of course, we recognize that there'll be a number of kids who may have failed the initial screening, although we don't say fail, they don't pass the initial screening, and actually be seen and be getting follow-up care, but still not fail the next one, right? They may have conditions that, for whatever reason, the decision is made not to treat them, so they may just, that would be important information to know too, though. Thank you all, and enjoy the after. Oh, I'm sorry, one last question right here.
No, that's okay. I have curiosity about the question, the project in China.
Sure. Yes.
You trained teachers to do the screenings. How did you find the cooperation with the Department of Education to be able to allow them to do that?
So initially, the main problem was getting the department to agree, the actual local state department. And that takes it's a sort of more political process, which went through the hospital, the larger hospital center nearby. And once we had that clearance, though, there was no problems at all to access, recruit as many teachers, asking them, of course, for their consent in participating. But there was no problems. We found that for research purposes and intervention purposes, the actual staff were very very eager to actually participate in the study because they actually understood that, okay, this will actually benefit the students. So we had no problems once we got the initial hurdles and approval from the higher-up departments. Yeah.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you, guys. That's great. Thank you very much.